Valley today. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Martin Luther, who has nailed the 95 Theses to the podium. You can come up and read them later if you like. Anyway, so this is...
That's what the sermon is.
All 95 Theses, right? Anyway, we welcome you here today. And also to let people know, not in the bulletin, is after church, the deacons have a kind of a Halloween gathering in the library. So come on over and be sociable. And we welcome you here today. And it's a pleasure to have Martin Luther with us. With that, we'll start off. Any other announcements for anybody? I guess not. Thanks.
I also remembered the bell today. Friends, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surges. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn that I wrote, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.
good works and remember that we do sin and fall short of the glory of God by joining in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, eternal Father, we acknowledge and confess to you that we were born in unrighteousness. Our life is full of sin and transgression. We have not gladly believed your word, nor followed your holy commandments. For your goodness' sake, and for your name's sake, be gracious unto us, we pray. And forgive us all our sin, which is very great. Amen. Friends, the saying is true, and we should believe it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to rescue sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. To all those who repent, therefore, I proclaim to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Siblings in Christ, let us greet one another with signs of peace. So we have a surprise anthem, which is fun. So let us quiet our hearts and minds for our choir's anthem.
Amen. Friends, let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy. Reforming God, we give you thanks for forgiveness and your blessing. We thank you for the Luthers, Calvins, Zwinglis, and so many other people you have poured your spirit into that then set about reforming your church. We thank you that you are still in the work of the life of the church, reforming us, reshaping us, remaking us into your image. We pray for the leadership and discernment of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and your church throughout the world. On this Reformation Sunday, we pray for the church unity, for the purity of God's word, and for a church that is always open to reform and to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray for those who struggle with brokenness this world imposes on them, as poverty, abuse, war, inequality, and so many other tortures. We pray for those who struggle with illness, mental, physical, or otherwise. We especially pray for Sue Galley's granddaughter, who is dealing with cyberstalking and bullying. We pray that all these people be comforted and embraced by you. We pray for our country, state, county, as this Tuesday we vote for new leadership. Lord, may we put into action our love, care, and prayers for the world. We pray that the children have a fun and safe Halloween tonight. As they dress up and pretend to be anything they want, help us reinforce their talents and abilities as we encourage each child to live out their dreams. Fill us with a spirit of openness to your spirit, to hear and to receive your promises, and to keep our covenant with you. We pray that we may be faithful agents of Christ's holy kingdom, bringing it forth as we follow Christ out of joy, not out of fearful obligation. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, please rise in body or spirit as you're able and join in singing our hymn of praise, God is my refuge.
Thank you.
thanksgiving for all that we have been given, that we now return to God our tithes and offerings.
Conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to receive by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works. No, because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Dear God, let us not only hear of you, but see you with our own eyes through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I, Martin Luther, have a lot of problems with this church. Let it be known, I have no desire to start a new religion. The Roman Catholic Church gets plenty of things right, but there are also a lot of unfaithful teachings and corruption
that cause me great concern. I just want the church, its clergy and parishioners, to get back to the gospel. The Catholic Church needs to repent of its sins, end the exploitation of its parishioners, and reform its practices. I have chosen today, October 31st, the year of our Lord 1517, to post these 95 theses, propositions, if you will, on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church. I'll also be using Gutenberg's new invention, the printing press, to quickly copy and distribute my theses all over town. Who knows? Maybe even the Pope will read them. At the very least, tomorrow is All Saints' Day. I know everyone will be attending Mass and will be able to see my propositions there. And then we can all have a nice, cordial debate about my thoughts. Surely, they'll all see how wrong they are and make the appropriate adjustments. You see, one of my big issues is that it's come to my attention that priests, cardinals, bishops have been selling indulgences in exchange for forgiveness of sins. I hear that Pope Leo X is putting a lot of pressure on the clergy to raise money so he can finish building St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. In turn, clergy are scaring and intimidating the poor and uneducated by telling them that they have to pay to have their sins forgiven. Surely you've heard of Friar Johann Tetzel out on the square selling indulgences with his fanciful words, "As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." This, my friends, is how people are cajoled into buying worthless pieces of paper so as to be guaranteed a place in heaven or to save their deceased loved ones from a millennia of purgatory. My people, this is a dangerous practice. Not only is it an abuse of God's people, but it is false doctrine. Yes. We are all flawed and sinful people. I, for one, am incredibly anti-Semitic and racist. I will never admit this in my lifetime, but trust me, 500 years from now, theologians will certainly criticize and try to invalidate me over it. Setting that aside, the point is that we cannot exchange earthly money or even good works for true repentance of sins. The practice of indulgences places us all in real danger of losing our souls in connection with God. You see, I've been in such despair at the state of my own soul, knowing that there is just never enough that I could ever do or be to please God. And I've delved into the scriptures. Now, I can do this because I have access to a lot of Bibles, and I'm literate in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, the languages in which the scriptures are written. This is another issue with the church, by the way. I think everyone should have access to the Word of God in their native tongues. Anyway, I've been really drawn to the epistles of Paul, especially the book of Romans. What I found in my studies, particularly in Romans 3, is so amazing. I just had to share it with you. The very first thing that we need to understand is that we are all sinners. Each and every one of us. And there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. We are all accountable to God and can never, ever, ever earn God's love or forgiveness. Okay, Martin, but what if we follow every letter of the law? Could we be declared righteous by God then? Well, first of all, works of the law are not easy. I mean, sure, if we are righteous, works would be easy, but we're not. Works don't come naturally to us. Those who attempt to perform works as a way of fulfilling the law and thus think themselves righteous, they've completely missed the point. They don't realize or even hate the fact that they are a sinner. And because of that, they don't desire grace. And ultimately, no single person fulfills the law except Christ. How exactly is this good news? Well, your Sunday school answer is, it's Jesus Christ! Of course. The faith of Christ justifies all of us before God. All who believe and profess a faith in God, regardless of race, citizenship, ethnicity, gender, denomination, social class, or political stance, are claimed and loved by God. We can't earn enough money to purchase our way out of sin. We can't justify ourselves out of sin. But God can and did. God presented Christ as a sacrifice to be received by faith. When we have faith of God's demonstration of righteousness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are justified. I tend to get a bit wordy, so I know that's a lot of big words to describe a difficult concept. It's still so easy for us to see ourselves at the center of the story. So when we're asked why God undertook to save the world through the death of Jesus, we might answer, well, because God loves us. And that's true. The scripture I've been studying, though, speaks more about God's attribute of righteousness, not God's love. At the cross of Jesus, God's righteousness and love come together in a purposeful demonstration. Because God is righteous and just, sin must be punished. But God is also gracious and wants to forgive our sins. God has never been and never will be coerced or even need to justify us sinners. God did not and does not have to save us. God's righteous mercy and saving justice are a 100% free gift to each of us. The good news is that our righteous God is unwilling to let us fallen creatures be destroyed by our own sin. We can be assured of salvation is entirely based on Christ's works, not ours. So does this mean that works are unimportant, unappreciated, shunned by God? Heavens, no. We, unrighteous and sinful human beings, are just so overcome by awe, wonder, joy, and gratitude for the ways in which God embraces us and transforms us. We just can't help but to participate in the kingdom. It is in response to God's righteousness and our salvation that we participate in works of faith. I understand that taking this one simple stand and asking the church to rethink and reform their practices will take off. That many new religious denominations and traditions will spill from this one action and be known as the Protestants. I hear one of the mottos will be reformed and reforming. I think I like that. The church is meant to be grounding ourselves in Scripture, heeding the Spirit while listening to the voice of God and trusting in Jesus as we move forward in history. We can't grow content with the same stagnant people and places. This means that, well, we listen to new ideas and try new things. And I know that's scary. But we know that the love God has for us doesn't depend on perfection. It is, after all, by faith, not works, that we receive grace. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. before we leave from this place, let me offer a blessing. Go out with your eyes open to the presence of God and follow Jesus on the way. Drink in the richness of God and enjoy the strength of the Lord. May God give you a long and full life. May Jesus open your eyes to the wonder of life. May the Holy Spirit fill you with the faith that makes you whole. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.